You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
Let's get ready to rumble!
It's David Alorca here with Mr. Gareth A. Davis in London for the first of a new series, William Hill Boxing Podcast Special. All right, it's Anthony Joshua, it's Andy Ruiz Jr. They're doing it again. We're live and direct in London right now at quite a busy venue. Gareth, you know, why is it so important for Joshua to win this?
Well, look, Anthony Joshua had an amazing run as an Olympic champion, 22 fights undefeated. He'd claimed three of the world title belts. The world was his oyster. He was the less is more man. The contracts with Under Armour, Hugo Boss, the visits to Under Armour in Seattle, Nike, all these places, the people that loved him. He's a crossover star. And then suddenly, boom, he gets knocked out by the chubby little fat guy on his American debut in Madison Square Garden on June the 1st. Outboxed, beaten up, outthought, outfoxed. Knocked down four times and stopped in the seventh round. It could not have gone any worse for him. In the history of the heavyweight division, the comeback fight, the redemption fight, has always been a big deal. And this has been a big deal. We've had the subplot and the backdrop of the dust-up in these dunes in Saudi Arabia with all the complaints about the political situation, amnesty, complaining about gender equality, all those kind of things. And it's kind of fueled this fight, and it's become bigger and bigger and bigger. The mainstream love Anthony Joshua. He has to gain redemption in front of all those people's eyes. He needs to do it because he's been humbled and humiliated. It's a really, really big fight for him. A bigger fight even than he had with Vladimir Klitschko in 2017 when he defeated a great but aging champion. He's been outboxed by this Mexican-American Andy Ruiz, and he's got to prove that it was a fluke, that it was a one-off, that he was caught behind the ear and, you know, made concussed during the fight. He's got to prove that he's got it in him to come back mentally, physically, technically, in all those terms, and show that he is the real deal, the legit, as they say, the millennials call them, don't they, that he is actually legit as a heavyweight champion of the world, and not just fed in a sequence that suited his promoter, Eddie Hearn.
Absolutely. Now, Gareth, you've covered boxing for an insane amount of years. And my time spent covering boxing with you in recent years, you used to always speak about how the rest of boxing is in the slipstream of Anthony Joshua. So how important is it now for boxing in general, Anthony Joshua winning this fight on Saturday?
Well, that's a very, very good point, David, because one of the key questions with Anthony Joshua is, can he sustain the industry that he's actually built? He has been incredible for the boxing industry. He's made boxing very popular in Britain, but he's made Britain a place to come for the world's greatest boxers. Vasyl Lomachenko, Alexander Usyk, Regis Prograis, all these guys we've been covering here. Even to extend Oscar Rivas fighting Dillian White here. Deontay Wilder wanting to fight here against Anthony Joshua. The rise of Tyson Fury again. All of it, apart from maybe the rise of Tyson Fury, who's just in a story of his own right, gaining 10 stone, losing 10 stone, you know, kind of redemption from mental illness and coming out and being very open about it. Perhaps apart from Tyson Fury, Anthony Joshua single-handedly brought the British public, brought in all the industries around fight sports into the sport. Under his masterful shadow, Katie Taylor has risen, Cal Yafai has risen, Dillian White and Derek Chisora to a certain extent have risen, because they've needed box office events that Joshua isn't, because he's so big, he's bigger than box office. No one in the history of British boxing has filled out four stadiums in a row from Cardiff to Wembley. All those factors, all the fascination with him, the looks, the giant Adonis that he is. If you were going to build the prototype physique of a heavyweight boxer, it would be Anthony Joshua. And I'm actually delighted, you know, we're speaking just after the weigh-in today, that he's actually weighed in at 16 stone, 13 pounds. just under 17 stone, his lightest since 2014. And Andy Ruiz Jr. has weighed in 15 pounds heavier than when he fought Joshua at 20 stone, 3 pounds. It's hard to believe that he's 45 pounds heavier. His heaviest for 10 years. It really swings, in my view, the fight back in the favour of Anthony Joshua.
How so? Because obviously, you know, the there is no upper limit in terms of the heavyweight division, but how does the added weight benefit or indeed disadvantage a fighter?
The bottom line here, and I'm going to be very honest, it sounds like Andy Ruiz Jr. hasn't trained very hard. He's put on 15 pounds in 6 months. He hasn't worried about his weight. He may not have sparred really hard. There could be some kind of con going on here, but I don't think there is. I think it really swings it massively into Joshua's favour. The weight loss, the stripping off of muscle on his arms, as we can see, if things go Joshua's way, make it seem like he really has had a very, very hard camp. He's really thought hard about how he wants to fight the fight. He will be quicker. He is carrying less weight over 36 minutes. I'd gone for a late stoppage or points win for Joshua, but I'm starting to feel now that he could win midway through the fight. It's a great advantage. It augurs so well for him for this fight.
Is what would you consider to be his best game plan going into this fight? Obviously, very aware of the dangers of Andy Ruiz's quick hands and what happened in the first fight. What do you consider he should do, and what do you think he will do?
So you're asking me how Joshua ought to win this fight, yeah? In the advice of George Foreman and Frank Bruno, Bruno, of course, working with us on William Hill on the night here in this location in Victoria, Greenwood's pub, sports bar and tavern. Be great to work with old Frank. And Shannon Briggs, of course. Frank Bruno and George Foreman, and I completely agree with them, old school heavyweight wisdom. Joshua, 8-inch reach advantage. I think it's a 5 or 6 inch height advantage, even though BoxRec doesn't say that. He keeps him behind the jab for as long as possible. He holds in close when they get in the clinch. He leans down on Andy Ruiz as much as possible. Make him feel his weight, really make him feel his weight throughout the fight. Stays away, circles away from the left hook as much as possible, doesn't get involved in a firefight early on, lets the right hand go every now and again to let him know it's there, but generally wins the fight, wins the first half of the fight through the jab. If the opportunities come, if Ruiz overcommits himself, then let those hands go, but don't get involved in a firefight on the ropes, or make sure he's commanding when he does that from the centre of the ring. Make sure he's aware of keeping his right hand up and protecting his chin where he got hurt before. All those things sound simple, but he needs to not be caught on the chin for the first 5 or 6 rounds of the fight till he's into the contest.
Absolutely. I guess, you know, moving on from that, or taking from that, what kind of mental scarring will be there from that first fight? You know, you mentioned him, you know, keeping his right hand up and protecting that area. How will that play in this fight?
Well, it's a massive advantage to Andy Ruiz that there will be some of this mental scarring from the first fight. Manny Robles has even spoken to me about it, about the scarring that will have gone on, that Joshua will be thinking about it. But as the fight progresses, the more confident he becomes, the fact he isn't taken to task in the early rounds, he keeps Ruiz away, keeps him missing, keeps him long, or even if he is caught and nothing happens, he will grow in confidence as the fight goes on. I do think he's very nervous. I've seen a nervous Anthony Joshua. When we sit with him, he's got great self-belief, but I think he is nervous about the outcome. He does not want to be humiliated and humbled again. The belts, as he's told us, don't define him. He considers himself as a champion, as a man, as a person as well, and I think he carries that very much. I mean, he's an admirable person. He's a wonderful person to be around. I think he's exemplary as a young man. He's 30 years of age. He hasn't done anything wrong for 10 years, and he's been in the glare of the public spotlight. You can only admire what he's done on all these things we've talked about.
Absolutely, absolutely. We spent a long time here talking and waxing lyrical about Anthony Joshua, but we have to then now look towards a lot more now towards his opposition, the current heavyweight champion of the world, Mr. Andy Ruiz. How has he grown over the last few months?
Well, you can see in the way he carries himself, he looks now like the immovable object. At 20 stone, 3 pounds, he may well be. His aura has grown, there's no doubt about it. You and I spent time with him in Los Angeles. He's really confident. He's fulfilled some of his lifetime ambitions. He's grown into being the champion. He's been to visit the Mexican president at Los Pinos. He's been on all the chat shows. He's sat back and he's thought, I worked really hard for this. For 24 years, I started boxing at 5-6 years old, and I deserve this. I put everything into it. And I think all of that, and the fact he did beat this Goliath, you know, this gargantuan figure, has filled him with such confidence. And he truly believes his hand speed and what he did the first time, putting Joshua down 4 times, he must believe he can do it again. And we have seen him grow. And that's what he needs to do. Put pressure on Joshua, force Joshua into a firefight, try and touch him as much as he can, bring him into the contest, clip him, hit his arms a lot even, go to the body, get Joshua to respond, because Joshua wants to fight. We know what he's like. It's actually going to be hard for him to stand back. So the more Ruiz can engage him by feinting and pulling him in, getting him in close, the more the fight plays into his hands. And that's what he'll be looking to do.
Do we see a better Ruiz this time around?
Yeah, I think so, because he's had longer to prepare. He's had 6 months to prepare for Anthony Joshua. He will have looked at him a lot more. It's how hungry he is now. You know, there's an old story that the American boxers, when they get one Rolls-Royce, you know, they get the Rolls-Royce. The British boxer does well, he gets the Rolls-Royce. But there's this whole story within boxing that the American wants 2 Rolls-Royces and 3 Rolls-Royces and 4 Rolls-Royces, whereas the British character maybe is content with 1 Rolls-Royce. I think Anthony Joshua's a new breed. He's very, very ambitious with his business plans, with the way he conducts himself. He's the CEO of his own company. I think the way Andy Ruiz wins this fight is we wonder how hungry he's going to be for this contest. His hunger may dictate how much he gives in this fight. He will have to be knocked down, knocked to sleep, or comprehensively outboxed for Joshua to win this fight, either on points or by stoppage. Ruiz will fight to the end, and he'll come out ferocious towards the end if he's behind on points. In fact, Manny Robles might even set him off the leash after 5 or 6. They don't think it's going their way, and he sees his man tiring and peppered with jabs, and that's what Joshua intends to do.
With this fight, obviously, you know, so much is on the line, or so much is on for both fighters, in essence. Where does the heavyweight division go beyond this?
Well, look, it's the Clash of the Titans next year if Joshua wins. It's the Clash of the Titans anyway. Deontay Wilder and Andy Ruiz have already made a pact. If the 2 Americans win, Deontay Wilder over Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua loses to Andy Ruiz, the 2 Americans will fight off for the BA, the BO, the BF and the BA, as we call them, next year. And they'll do it in America. But it is Clash of the Titans next year anyway. We expect in the next few days, February 22nd, to be announced, Las Vegas, Deontay Wilder and the Tyson Fury rematch. The winner of that has to face the winner of this, or the winner of this after one more fight. Anthony Joshua wins. We get Dillian White in April at Wembley. We want to see that. The Dillian White trilogy, if you like. Trilogy fight. But it's just redemption. It's redemption for Anthony Joshua, or it's the end of a big section of his career that he needs to repair so deeply and from ground level again if he loses. Klitschko's done it before him. Look, I think it's worth looking at the history of the heavyweight division right now. Only 3 men in the history of the heavyweight division have won back the world title at the first attempt in an immediate rematch. Floyd Patterson, the youngest heavyweight champion in history when he won the title, age 21 in the 50s, was knocked out by Ingemar Johansson in 1959 and knocked down 7 times in 3 rounds, yeah? 7 times. Worse knockdowns than Anthony Joshua was. Horrible knockdowns. He came back in the next fight and with a leaping left hook, he put Ingemar Johansson out cold. He was out for 5 minutes before they got him up and put him on his stool. Wow. He also beat him in another fight, stayed off that just to set the record straight, stopped him again, beat him twice. Muhammad Ali, 1978, lost the first fight with Leon Spinks. He took a vow of silence even in the build-up, where he refused to speak to the media because Leon Spinks couldn't possibly be good enough to beat the greatest in only his eighth pro fight, even though he'd won the Olympic gold in Montreal in 76. When they fought in 78, Ali didn't speak for 6 weeks at all the press conferences going into the event. He even taped up his mouth. And the news story was, when is Ali going to speak? When will he break his vow of silence? Because he said that Spinks wasn't even fit to lace his boots. But Spinks won the first fight, and in the immediate on a split point decision, 15 rounds then, in the rematch, Ali, jab, jab, grab, jab, jab, grab. Joshua could do that as well in this fight. Lean on him, pull him in, as I was saying earlier. The third man to do it, Lennox Lewis against Hasim Rahman, 2001, Mandalay Bay Event Center, Las Vegas. Knocked Hasim Rahman out in 4 rounds after being knocked down himself in a shock knockout in the fifth round in South Africa when he was kind of involved in the film industry. People said he was distracted. I think it was Ocean's 12 or Ocean's 11 he was involved. He fought Klitschko in the film. But he came back and he was aggressive and he pushed it. Only three men in the history of the division have done it. Five men have failed. So history, in some senses, is not on Joshua's side. It's a big risk. George Foreman says he doesn't believe in an immediate rematch because you need to build yourself up again. But there were those three belts plus the IBO that Joshua wanted back. So did Eddie Hearn. They want to control the division and they want to control the negotiation with either Fury or Wilder.
Do you factoring all of that, do you think he actually really had a choice? Because obviously if we let it go and he didn't enact that clause, the belts would be gone for a seemingly long period of time.
Look, Eddie Hearn made it very easy for him by getting a £70 million purse. I mean, you know, in a new zone, in a new zone in the world, in the Middle East, again, as a flagship fighter. So he laid it on the plate for him. Joshua wanted the rematch from a couple of days later, apparently, even when he was still in New York. He's a champion. He's got a champion's mentality. I genuinely think he felt humiliated by being beaten in the way he was. He showed himself to be a real man as well in the manner which he took the loss.
Yeah.
I admired him for the way he dealt with it.
Even Manny Robles did as well. He mentioned in LA.
That's right. And you know, again, I go back to this era that we have where everyone's an armchair expert, everyone's a Twitter expert, everyone's an expert in Fight Week, everyone's an expert on what everyone else is doing. You know, concentrate on your own game, yeah? Concentrate on your own bloody game. Anthony Joshua is a template for the hipster generation. He really is. And, you know, as we can see with his weight and what he's gone through in camp, we've been around him in camp, he's really worked hard. He's left no stone unturned, as Rob McCracken said. And McCracken adds that if they don't learn from it, they're not doing a very good job. They have learnt. So if he loses, he's been beaten by a better man who boxed him better. It's as simple as that.
Okay, finally, I'm going to push you on how do you see this fight going? In your view, the bell goes, how does the fight go?
I love it because you always ask everyone that when they're with them. Bell goes, Saturday night, what happens? Here's what happens as the glass is just about to get thrown. I'm going to pre-weigh in. I worried about Joshua in the middle rounds losing focus and not keeping mentally strong because he wants to get involved in a toe-to-toe. He wants to get involved in a phone box war, you know? I'm less concerned after seeing the weights of the two men at the weigh-in because I think Joshua will be able to do that. And I think if he stays behind his jab, it will have thrilled him to see those weights. If he does stay behind the jab, I think Ruiz will tire quicker. I think Ruiz will be very aggressive in this fight from about the second or third round onwards. He may be patient, we don't know, but I do see Joshua implementing his game plan. I think we'll have a few scares, we do with every fight he's involved in, where he suddenly forgets the game plan or he crouches down when he's not meant to be crouching down and when he's meant to be tall. I think it'll be very cagey for a couple of rounds. I think there'll be skirmishes in the first 9 minutes. I think there'll be a bit of toe-to-toe action by the fourth or fifth, and I think Ruiz will have a few moments around the mid rounds, and I think Joshua will weather the storm and I think Joshua will set about Ruiz, and I think he'll win between rounds 5 and 9 by decisive KO.
Absolutely beautiful. Well, Gareth, it's been an absolute pleasure.
It's always a pleasure when we talk. You
always.
Know, isn't it?
Always. It always is. Exactly. Absolutely always is.
And we're both in black. We're sitting at Greenwood's sports bar, aren't we, right now?
Yep.
We're going to be here on fight night.
We are indeed, and it's going to be an absolute cracker.
While they're having a dust up in the dunes, we'll be having victory in Victoria.
I love it. I love it. Guys, thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you again on the next one.
Pleasure.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.